So today is the first Sunday of Lent, and it's appropriate that our readings take us into the desert. This Jesus fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights, and I think sometimes when we hear this gospel, we look at it like from a human perspective, you know, that it's an incredible story. If it was just like a mere mortal out in the desert fasting, say just being in the desert alone for 40 days, that, I don't like to camp, right? And I think 2 days would be enough for me to be in the desert. And he stays out there for 40 days, and then he fasts, right? Fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it has been done. People do it. It was done right here. But it's not going to be a good time. I mean, by day 20, if you're fasting, by day 20, you've burned all of your body fat. And then the next 20 days, you're going to lose significant muscle loss, including the heart muscle. And your immune system is going to be weakened significantly. You're going to lose cognitive function. It's really going to be hard to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And then at that point, the devil shows up and offers him all of these incredibly tempting temptations. And he says, no. And that's pretty amazing, but there's more going on in this gospel today. It isn't just a demonstration of his feats of strength. It's more than just... And this is more than just some guy going out into the desert. This is God. In our gospel today, we're talking about the battle between good and evil. The desert is the battlefield. And Jesus, he's here on a rescue mission, purposefully and intentionally taking the battle into the desert. And that really effectively, perfectly brings us back to our first reading today. This idea of the desert. In our first reading, we go back to the creation story, and God creates man from the earth. He breathes life into him. He places him in abundance and beauty and communion with him. And then the serpent shows up, and it says cunning. He's just so subtle, right? It's not an attack. It's not a command. It's not a big battle scene. It's just a question. He says, did God really say that? The war starts with a whisper. A seed of doubt is placed, and he feeds their ego, and they disobey God. And what happens to Adam and Eve is what always happens. Sin, it never lives up to the hype. And the good they think they're going to get is gone before they realize it. And they're left with shame and fear and hiding, and they sow fig leaves, and they hide from God. They fall out of communion, and they find themselves in the desert. And so in the gospel today, we follow Jesus into that same desert, the battlefield. Christ is confronting the devil to reverse what Adam lost. It's a perfect parallel. The gospel perfectly parallels this first reading. In the garden, the devil says, go ahead and eat from this tree. God's holding out on you. And they eat. And in the desert, the devil says, go ahead and eat. These stones can become bread. And instead of eating the bread, Jesus responds with scripture. And in the garden, the devil says, trust me, you will not die. And they trust the serpent. And in the desert, the devil says, trust me, you will not die. And he responds with scripture. And in the garden, I get mixed up with this, sorry, I'm excited. In the garden, the devil says, you can be like gods. You can be like gods. And they try to be. And in the desert, the devil says, avoid the cross. Just a second of adoration for me, and I'll give you everything. And Jesus again responds with scripture. Jesus, in this reading, he is undoing Adam's failure. He's methodically unwinding what happened in the garden to bring us back from the desert. It's a rescue mission. And Saint Irenaeus talks about this. He says, the devil lied against God in the garden and brought Adam into death. And now Christ then confronts the devil and reverses what Adam lost. So much bigger than feats of strength. Big stuff happening here. And so the idea of Lent, this, I always wondered, I didn't grow up Catholic, and I was always curious, and I didn't grow up Christian, but I'd see Catholics, they would give things up for Lent, right? I'm gonna give up drinking, I'm gonna give up being angry, I'm gonna give up sugar, and it's like good, honorable stuff, you know, but I never really understood it, and I think there's a lot of Catholics that probably don't understand why we do that either. And they're good things to do, but it's not intended, Lent is not intended to be a diet or a punishment or an endurance contest. If I could just make it for 40 days, you know. It's not intended to show how strong we are. Again, it's just like Jesus in the desert, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we don't meet God in our strength as champions. We meet Him in our weakness. And in our weakness, we can find out how strong, we can come to know how strong God is. Every hunger does not need to be fed, right? So we redirect some of our hungers to God. The desert is the battlefield, and we're armed with powerful weapons. I like this. We're armed with prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Or if you don't know what almsgiving is, it means helping others, right? I think it means that. I'll find out afterwards if it doesn't. So prayer, Lent's a good time to pray. Pray in the morning, pray at night, pray in the afternoon. Pray throughout the little prayers, big prayers, silent prayers, out loud prayers, you know, wherever it matters. And it could be, maybe we say, in the next 40 days, I'm going to say the rosary every day. Some of you, I know, already do, but some of us don't. Maybe say the rosary every day. Or maybe try the liturgy of the hours every day, morning prayer or evening prayer. And if you don't know how, ask a deacon. I'll show you. It's pretty awesome. But maybe it's easy stuff. You know, in the car on the way to work, I always say, God, please direct my thinking today. Please remove from it self-seeking motives, self-pity, and just little things like that. Direct my thinking today. Direct my thoughts and my words and my actions. I-380 can be a pretty peaceful place if I'm in prayer. And speaking of that, pray on I-380. Pray, if the car goes flying around you, driving like a maniac, say, God, please help that guy, because it might be me. Pray for people on 380, right? If someone cuts me off sometimes, instead of getting angry, I'll just say, God, help them. That's like calculus for someone who's an angry driver, but it's amazing, and it diffuses the situation. Pray before I go into meetings. Pray before I answer the phone. Constant contact. Pray, pray, pray. And then fasting, you can do the same thing. You can fast, fast, fast. I mean, you could do like long, extended fasting from food, but there's other kinds of fasting that we can do, and we can do it throughout the day, right? The serpent says, take your fruit, take your comfort, feed yourself first. Satisfy every hunger immediately, and every hunger doesn't need to be satisfied, right? We can fast from things that give us comfort. I mean, what? Approval, food, control, being right about anything, an opinion I might have. I can set that stuff aside. I could try. I have this realization sometimes that other people have feelings, like I do. You're like, yeah, we do. Some of us forget that sometimes, so we can be kind to people. This is Friday, I'm talking to one of my salesmen, and I was getting ready to explain why I didn't like a guy that owns a company that we work with, and it was personal stuff. And I said, you know, the deal is with Larry, and I caught myself, because it's Lent, and I'm asking God for help. So I looked at my guy Jake, and I just said, Jake, I'm not going to finish this story, because I was getting ready to do character assassination, and I'm not going to do that. So let's just say, God bless Larry. I mean, I'm trying, you know, we do our best. I don't know. Almsgiving, helping others. It doesn't always mean we have to go to the food bank or go feed the homeless. I think but do, just do, do stuff like that. I was at the, I was at Linn County Jail yesterday, and I walk out of there just feeling, it's just an amazing feeling to be out helping others. But we can do all kinds of stuff all day. We could give throughout the day, right? We can give people our time. We can give them our attention. We could be charitable like I did with Larry. His name's not really Larry. I'm picking a name. Maybe there's a family member we haven't talked to in a long time. That kind of stuff happens. Maybe it's time, in terms of almsgiving, just to call and say, hey, you know, you're my brother. I don't know. Another thing we can do for almsgiving, this is a fun one. Have you ever done anything for someone without them knowing anything about it? I can't say whether I've done that or not, because if I had, it'd wreck it, right? But try doing something for someone else without them knowing about it. And because a lot of times when I do something for someone else, I'm like, look at me, look how good I am, you know. And one time I hurt myself helping others. I injured my shoulder trying to pat myself on the back. Do something for someone else without them knowing about it. Just do. So we're here. It's the first Sunday of Lent. We're preparing to walk back out into the desert, walk back out onto the battlefield. We're nourished before we go. We're nourished here at this altar. Superhuman spiritual strength. The graces that the second reading talked about. So at the dismissal, when we hear the call, when we hear the dismissal, we hear a call to battle. And hopefully we'll think, pray, pray, pray. Fast, 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 as fast as you can, and go do something for someone else.